today on Real Radio.
That's why Jesus said, if any man desires to save his life, he's going to lose it. If any man desires to find his life, let him give it up. So what does that mean? It means if you want to experience the absolute fullness of life, come before God and give him your life.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series simply called, Why Should I? It's a collection of topical lessons that takes a look at what Scripture has to say about the activities and the lifestyle of the believer. Now, we're in a multi-part series that answers one of these questions. It's called, Why Should I Worship? It's sad to say that a lot of folks professing to be believers today define the W word in a very narrow way. But the Bible has a lot to say about how worship is part of everything involved in the life of the believer. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called, Why Should I Worship?
If you know he's with you, the place and the wherewithal to have discovered that is having a private life with God. And the more you have a private life with God, the more you will absolutely mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run, you're not going to get pooped out. You'll walk, you're not going to faint. A private time with him. Joshua, no need to turn there, but jot it down in your notes. Joshua chapter 4, I love that chapter of worship. That is a great chapter of worship. Quickly, public worship. How it connects to private worship. Public worship, God tells Joshua, you know what? When the priests go across, have them pick up 12 stones. When you guys cross over from Moab, from the area of Jordan, when you cross the Jordan River and get into the Israeli territory or the promised land, when those priests go across, have them pick up 12 stones, one representing each tribe of Israel. And when you get on the other side where you encamp that night, by the way, we know it's called Gilgal. When you guys pitch your tents in Gilgal tonight after you cross over into the promised land, I want you to stack those 12 stones together as a memorial. You know what happened? They all did it. But if you keep reading Joshua chapter 4, you wind up reading something that a lot of people skip. There weren't 12 stones. There were 24 stones. There wasn't one altar of remembrance erected. There were two. One was the public gathering of the priest crossing over the Jordan and putting the stones at Gilgal. The other stack of 12 stones was done by one man alone by himself. His name was Joshua, which, by the way, is his name in Hebrew. His name in Greek, we would say today, is Jesus. We say Jesus because that's the Greek name for Christ. Joshua is his Hebrew name. Joshua, the general of Moses' forces, his assistant, was a type of Christ. I will meet you in public worship as priests stack the stones. Publicly. The monument, it says in Joshua, is still here to this day at the time of the writing. Then Joshua goes back to the river before God caused it to fill back in. And guess what he did? He stacked 12 stones together all by himself. And then he walks onto the promised land, Joshua does, and then the water flows over them, and they're hidden. And yet the Bible still says that they're there to this day. My question to God and to any archaeologist is, where? We've got a really good idea where they crossed over, just north of the Dead Sea. We know it was south from the city of Adam, because the Bible says that's where the water backed up to Adam. So we kind of know where. I want to see the stones. You know what? Even if we went there today and dried up the Jordan River, though there's a lot of stones, and the Bible does say they're there till this day, we could never identify them. You want to know why? They're not your stones. They're not mine. They were never intended to be discovered by any human being. Oh, the ones that are at Gilgal? Certainly. But the ones under the water are not. Private worship of Joshua, the public worship of God's people. You and I, as God's Joshuas, we must have private worship. Why? So we can come together on Sunday in a holy convocation and worship God publicly. It's just an extension of what we do. Man, are we worshipers of the Lord? Your life will change. You got kids, and you tell your kids, now look, what I want you to do, I want you to put this right here. You ever been there? I mean, I know you've been there. I want you to put this right here, and it'll work. Watch, you'll see. The light will come on if you push this right there, and then throw that little switch. Watch. You tell them what to do. And they'll give you all kinds of reasons. But Daddy, no, but Daddy. And they start, and it's, where do they get that thinking? Daddy, I know more about everything. And they try to tell you how it's not going to work. Just do that. Watch. Put it there. And then throw the switch. No, but Daddy, I wonder if God feels like that with us sometime. God, my life has got so many troubles. Yeah, I know. If you just go over there and get alone with me, you know what? I'll throw the switch. Just do that. But God, you don't understand. This is heaven and no. And I wonder if God doesn't look down and he just sees us, you know, with a big diaper on. That's just the way he is. And it's like, oh man, just go in here and I'll throw the switch and you'll see that I'm in control. But God will say to him, and if you've got kids, you go, man, that sounds like my house. Because we love our kids, we'll tell them what to do. Just walk in here and turn on the switch. And they'll give us 101 reasons why it won't work. Isn't it funny? If we just get along with him, the light comes on. The Bible makes more sense. Life is more clear. Troubles begin to dissipate. Well, not only that, but we learn this. Worship in our private lives, the loss of self. What? Yeah, the loss of self. When we worship God privately, you know what? Frankly, it's quite a challenge to our ego. Some of you are going to blow off this invitation to get alone. Some of you are going to try it and find out. I pray all of us take this challenge. One of the great things about getting alone with God is a murder takes place. The murder of ego and the murder of arrogance. Don't ever try to convince me that that guy over there or that lady over there is a real spiritual person when you see nothing but ego and arrogance emitting out of them. I know better. And anyone who's been in the closet with God can see it. You can't have arrogance and you can't have ego and have been alone with God. He won't allow it. You know why? There's no room. You say, well, yeah, I know. You said you had a small house, and that's not what I'm talking about. You can have a palace. When you get alone with God, there's no more room for anyone else but God. And you get lost in him. That's why Jesus said, if any man desires to save his life, he's going to lose it. If any man desires to find his life, let him give it up. So what does that mean? It means if you want to experience the absolute fullness of life, come before God and give him your life. That's every door, every key, every window, every latch. Say, Lord, take it. I'm yours. Invite him into everything. A murder will take place. It will be the murder of self. You don't want to be in control anymore. You don't want to be in the lead anymore. The amazing thing about God, the greatest leaders of the world for freedom and for righteousness have been men and women who understood the secret that great authority comes by yielding to God. Did you know that? The greatest authority God establishes, not a degree, not anything else. The greatest status of power in the world that a man or a woman could have is the authority installed by God, because he will hold the hearts of the nation in his hand, if need be, to establish someone's authority from your own home to the world. But it will not happen unless you're alone with him. That heart, our heart, must be given to him in worship. Try it in private. I'm going to sound funny. I know. That's part of the death process. I love you, Lord. Yeah, I know. Boy, God, speed up that death process quick. You got to get through that. Be alone with him. do that very thing. Not only that, we go on to learn this, that worship in our private lives, there needs to be the supreme, what I call the supreme delight. Maybe it's better said the delight of the supreme. Delight. The inclusion of God into everything. To delight. I'm trying to find a picture in my mind of delight. The meaning of the word is very powerful. The Bible tells us, of course, to delight in the Lord. A person who is delighting in something, you can't get their attention. Have you ever noticed? You can't get their attention. I saw one of the saddest things, this for some reason always, I see this often and it bothers me. It's just the way that I'm wired. But walking down Main Street in Disneyland, there is a little kid, and you know, little kids have little legs. A lot of parents forget that. And they have little strides. And I had been near this family. I didn't know who they were, but I'd been near them enough to realize that they weren't in a hurry. They didn't have to get anywhere. The place wasn't burning down. There was no crisis. But maybe in the pressure to see Disneyland all in one day might have been upon them, and for the price, I understand that. But that mom and dad, they were walking, and that little kid's head was like on a swivel, trying to look at all the sights, going, "Mom, Dad," as the world passed by them. They wanted to take it in. Mom and Dad had things to do and people to see. That little one just wanted to slow down and take it in. Sometimes I wonder if we're guilty of that as Christians. We come in, okay, man, I got to mow the lawn today. I got to go in today. We got to take care of us. Okay, are they going to start on time? Is Don going to get us started on time? Okay, looks like we're starting on time. Another song? Oh, man. A guest singer? Oh, man. Announcements. Why is Jack doing the announcement today? He does them too long. Where's John? They're quicker. I need to get out of here. Your feet are like, your strides are huge. It's like, let's do God and off in the next week, okay? But there's somebody here. There are some here that their head's like on a swivel. I want to take this in. I want to be near him. The world is waiting out there, and it's got all of its garbage. Out there, it's waiting. Don't worry, we're not going to miss any of it. What are you in a hurry for? Oh, I got to get back into that filth. I mean, come on, let's get through the service. I got to get out there. Oh, man. Well, delight in him. Take time to delight in him. The book of Psalms, again, the psalmist says, Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5, says, trust in the Lord, do the right thing. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You know, maybe it's the Holy Spirit right now that I'm supposed to say this. If you're single, stop trying to delight in somebody. Delight yourself in the Lord, and let him find the one that's ordained by him so you'll be really happy in life. Stop looking for a man or a woman that you can delight in. That's about a 10. I'll take them. Hey, why don't you get God's 10 and be happy? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll what? Give you the desires of your heart. Oh, no. Jack, I want the desires of my heart. So God, chop, chop, delight me. Come on, I'm going to give you 2 days to bring them to me. No. No, 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 no. God's preparing a man for you. God's preparing a woman for you. And if you delight yourself in him, watch. Are you listening? If you're delighting yourself in him, both of you are going to bump heads at just the right spot. Because you're going to be looking to him and, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry. Hi, what's your name? And angels will be singing and all of that will be go awesome. Why? It's what he ordained. Delight yourself in him first. Get along with him first. Worship him. Third and final point of our study, a series within a series. Why should I worship? Worship is a response. Listen, worship is a response to victory. Yeah, to victory, worship is. Worship is a response to victory. Number one, how so? Victory through fascination. I love this. Victory through fascination. Fascination. See, man, honestly, I had to stop when I wrote this down. When was the last time I even heard the word fascination? And I thought about that. If we run a daycare center, the word may appear there, fascination. We may not write it down for the little ones, but it's what we see in their faces. Everything's fascinating to them. When you get older, everything's been there, done that. I hope I don't get old. I mean, I know I'm getting old, but I don't want to get old that kind of old. Fascination. Fascination, according to A.W. Tozer, again, regarding worship, fascination is something that we wind up experiencing just before we get lost in it. Fascination. When's the last time you were fascinated? Shocked? Terrorized? When's the last time you were fascinated? Went to a Laker game on Valentine's night. And you know, I've never been to a professional sporting event where the home team has ever won in all of my life. That's no exaggeration. I've never seen a home team win. Ever. However, we were with a beautiful couple here that attends this church. The seats were unbelievable. And it was a great night out in Lakers. 7-game winning streak. Remember, every Angel game I've ever been to, they've lost. That's why you did not see me at the World Series. I had 2 invitations to the World Series. I did not go. I'm not a superstitious guy. I just could not take the grief. No pro team has ever won with me in this grandstands. So we're sitting right off the floor at Staples. And guess what? The Antonio Spurs came to play basketball. The Lakers never showed up. I mean, they were there, but they didn't play. I couldn't believe it. So you know what I did? I wound up watching people. It was hilarious. Yeah, there was no game, so I watched people. And people were fascinated. Not with a game. Because that's the great thing about the Lakers at Staples. If they stink, you don't have to watch the game. There's Denzel Washington, you can watch him. There's Della Reese, you can watch him. Jack Nicholson, you can watch him. Diane Cannon. Joe Millionaire, you can watch him. He was there. I could go on and on. Pat O'Brien, he was there. All these, Jim Hill, he was there. You can go on and on. I'm just shortening it up because I don't have much time. In the world, see, when the game stinks, you just watch movie stars and famous people at the Staples Center. So it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of nice if the game goes bad. You get a little something for your ticket, you know? But the world's fascinated. And people are like, look at them, there he is. Look. Oh. And you look at that and you just got, you know, what is the deal? I don't think we can be fascinated truly unless we're fascinated in God and with God. Fascinations, it's an awesome word. Awesome meaning. To get lost in it. A.W. Tozer says, if you can explain the object in which you're worshiping, you cannot truly worship it. Aren't you glad that you cannot fully worship the things of this world, because you understand them? Do you worship your IBM? Your laptop? Do you worship it? No, you hate it. You don't worship a mountain. You know what a mountain's all about. You don't go out there and worship the ocean. Who would worship nature like that? You know all about it. You got to be crazy. How about worshiping the one who created the nature, who the Bible shows us just enough about him for us to fall in love with him, and to be in awe and fascination of him, and yet not be able to figure him out fully. The Bible says that he's past finding out. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that there's a mystery to God? He told us that he loves us. He told us so much that he loved us that he's going to send his son to die on the cross. He told us that he'll forgive us. He told us that he'll separate our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. He told us that I'll take you to heaven. He told us that when all the world is falling apart, I'll fill you with peace. And then we're going to go be with him and spend forever getting to know the rest of him. It will be awesome. It will be fascinating. It's going to be exciting. It will be a response to the victory that Christ has prepared for us. Fascination. Fascination.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Why Should I Worship? It's actually Pastor Jack's series within a series called Why Should I? It's a collection of studies that takes a look at what God's written word has to say about the life of the believer and how it's to be lived. It's a pretty interesting series, don't you think? We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's Friday, and that means it's time for another Ask Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is a way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Send your question, if you've got one, to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, we love to drag Pastor Jack into the studio, but he's pretty busy a lot of the time, so what we do is we'll give him the question, and sometimes he'll answer it from the pulpit, kind of killing two birds with one stone, if you will. So today's Ask Pastor Jack comes from the pulpit, and it's on the topic of whether or not we should support a ministry that does not necessarily line up with our own spiritual worldview, even if that ministry has other good things about it. Now, here's the question. Pastor Jack, in regards to our spirituality and supporting the body of Christ, there are many ministries that are not, quote, right on when it comes to biblical teaching, but they put on some great music that leads us into worship times with God. What does the Bible say about buying their music and supporting their ministries?
If the person, and if you're here tonight, or maybe you, like he said, text that or email that in, if you're going to a ministry, or if you're involved in a ministry, or if you're supporting a ministry somewhere, somehow, that's not biblical. I mean, that's a strong word. If it's not biblical, man, at the very first thing, I'd back up. I'd at least pause in support of that ministry if the Lord gave you clear direction. What would be the criteria? Absolutely the Word of God, the Bible. If something's going on that's not biblical, let's say they're not teaching the gospel, or look at people who for years supported, for example, Jimmy Swaggart or Jim and Tammy Baker. And you could say, well, it wasn't biblical or it was kind of biblical. But when you found out about their personal conduct, it was immediately. They could have had the greatest preaching ministry in the universe, but their character didn't match up, right? That's a problem. You stop. But if you have the integrity, though, that's there, and you have a ministry that is questionable biblically, I would make sure that you apply chapter and verse to the issue. Be very careful, because remember, your support is not... it's not yours in the sense that it's not yours to give away as you wish. It's God's blessing on your life to invest in the kingdom for your benefit in eternity. So it's all his. There's practice, which there can be principles or policies or procedures. You know, like for every church is different, right? And it's supposed to be different. There's a personality to every local body. That's cool. But where you want to be careful is it biblical?
Okay, that's Pastor Jack from the pulpit on applying biblical criteria to deciding whether or not to support a ministry. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. Now, you may just hear the answer from the pulpit. You may hear it when we get Pastor Jack into the studio. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.